Today is the 30th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Wow, here we are. We made it. 4 months. 4 months of this brand new year. I guess it's not brand new anymore now. Like, we're more than a quarter in. We're well underway. And what a year it has been. A year of repair. And I look forward to all that is yet to come in front of us as we continue to put one foot in front of the other. One step a day, day by day, step by step, together through the entire year, through the entire Bible. So we have wound our way, obviously, to the end of this month. Yesterday, we wound our way to the conclusion or the end of the Gospel of Luke. So as we end the month of April, we will begin the final gospel, the Gospel of John. When we get there, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, Judges chapters 11 and 12. Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a valiant warrior, but he was the son of a prostitute, and Gilead was his father. Gilead's wife bore him sons, and when they grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You will have no inheritance in our father's family, because you are the son of another woman." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Then some worthless men joined Jephthah and went on raids with him. Sometime later, the Ammonites fought against Israel. When the Ammonites made war with Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. They said to him, "Come, be our commander and let's fight the Ammonites." Jephthah replied to the elders of Gilead, "Didn't you hate me and drive me out of my father's family? Why then have you come to me now when you're in trouble?" They answered Jephthah, "That's true. But now we turn to you. Come with us. Fight the Ammonites, and you will become leader of all the inhabitants of Gilead." So Jephthah said to them, "If you are bringing me back to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them to me, I will be your leader." The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord is our witness if we don't do as you say." So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead. The people made him their leader and commander, and Jephthah repeated all his terms in the presence of the Lord at Mizpah. Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites, asking, "What do you have against me that you have come to fight me in my land?" The king of the Ammonites said to Jephthah's messengers, "When Israel came from Egypt, they seized my land from the Arnon to the Jabbok and the Jordan. Now restore it peaceably." Jephthah again sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites to tell him, "This is what Jephthah says: Israel did not take away the land of Moab or the land of the Ammonites. But when they came from Egypt, Israel traveled through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom saying, 'Please, let us travel through your land.' But the king of Edom would not listen. They also sent messengers to the king of Moab, but he refused. So Israel stayed in Kadesh. Then they traveled through the wilderness and around the lands of Edom and Moab. They came to the east side of the land of Moab and camped on the other side of the Arnon, but did not enter into the territory of Moab, for the Arnon was the boundary of Moab. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon. Israel said to him, 'Please, let us travel through your land to our country.' But Sihon would not trust Israel to pass through his territory. Instead, Sihon gathered all his troops, camped at Jahaz, and fought with Israel. Then the Lord God of Israel handed over Sihon and all his troops to Israel, and they defeated them. So Israel took possession of the entire land of the Amorites who lived in that country. They took possession of all the territory of the Amorites from the Arnon to the Jabbok, and from the wilderness to the Jordan. The Lord God of Israel has now driven out the Amorites before his people Israel, and will you now force us out? Isn't it true that you can have whatever your god Chemosh conquers for you, and we can have whatever the Lord our God conquers for us? Now, are you any better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever contend with Israel or fight against them? While Israel lived 300 years in Heshbon and Arior and their surrounding villages and in all the cities that are on the banks of the Arnon, why didn't you take them back at that time? I have not sinned against you, but you are doing me wrong by fighting against me. Let the Lord, who is the judge, decide today between the Israelites and the Ammonites. But the king of the Ammonites would not listen to Jephthah's message that he sent him. The Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah, who traveled through Gilead and Manasseh, and then through Mizpah of Gilead. He crossed over to the Ammonites from Mizpah of Gilead. Jephthah made this vow to the Lord: if you in fact hand over the Ammonites to me, whoever comes out the doors of my house to greet me when I return safely from the Ammonites will belong to the Lord, and I will offer that person as a burnt offering. Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them, and the Lord handed them over to him. He defeated 20 of their cities with a great slaughter, from Arior all the way to the entrance of Minith and to Abel-Karamim. So the Ammonites were subdued before the Israelites. When Jephthah went to his home in Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with tambourines and dancing. She was his only child. He had no other son or daughter besides her. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "No, not my daughter. You have devastated me. You have brought great misery on me. I have given my word to the Lord and cannot take it back." Then she said to him, "My father, you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me as you have said, for the Lord brought vengeance on your enemies, the Ammonites." She also said to her father, "Let me do this one thing. Let me wander 2 months through the mountains with my friends and mourn my virginity." "Go," he said. And he sent her away 2 months. So she left with her friends and mourned her virginity as she wandered through the mountains. At the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, and he kept the vow he had made about her. And she had never been intimate with a man. Now it became a custom in Israel that 4 days each year the young women of Israel would commemorate the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite. The men of Ephraim were called together and crossed the Jordan to Zaphon. They said to Jephthah, "Why have you crossed over to fight against the Ammonites but didn't call us to go with you? We will burn your house with you in it." Then Jephthah said to them, "My people and I had a bitter conflict with the Ammonites. So I called for you, but you didn't deliver me from their power. When I saw that you weren't going to deliver me, I took my life in my own hands and crossed over to the Ammonites, and the Lord handed them over to me. Why then have you come today to fight against me?" Then Jephthah gathered all of the men of Gilead. They fought and defeated Ephraim, because Ephraim had said, "You Gileadites are Ephraimite fugitives in the territories of Ephraim and Manasseh." The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan leading to Ephraim. Whenever a fugitive from Ephraim said, "Let me cross over," the Gileadites asked him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he answered, "No," they told him, "Please say Shibboleth." if he said Sibboleth, because he could not pronounce it correctly, they seized him and executed him at the fords of the Jordan. At that time, 42,000 from Ephraim died. Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, and when he died, he was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. Ibzan, who was from Bethlehem, judged Israel after Jephthah and had 30 sons. He gave his 30 daughters in marriage to men outside the tribe and brought back 30 wives for his sons from outside the tribe. Ibzan judged Israel 7 years, and when he died, he was buried in Bethlehem. Elon, who was from Zebulun, judged Israel after Ibzan. He judged Israel 10 years, and when he died, he was buried in Aijalon in the land of Zebulun. After Elon, Abdon, son of Hillel, who was from Pirathon, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons, who rode on 70 donkeys. Abdon judged Israel 8 years, and when he died, he was buried in Pirathon, in the land of Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. Okay, so this is the 120th day of the year. And as we end this fourth month, 120th day of the adventure through the Bible, we are going to begin the Gospel of John, the final narrative describing the earthly life and ministry of Jesus, the Lord, our Savior. And so just, you know, kind of reminding us, the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are what we've read so far. They're known as the Synoptic Gospels because even though they're written to different audiences and at a little bit different times, they share many of the same stories. So John's Gospel, though, has a completely different tone and texture than the other Gospels do. It's like 90% different from the other Gospels, giving us new context and perspective for Jesus' life and ministry. The Apostle John would have known the stories that he was writing about because he was there. And instead of telling the same stories that had been written down, it's like he's writing the rest of the story, which is important because while the other Gospels were meant to offer a telling, the story of Jesus and his teachings and the way, along with reasons to believe, John writes his gospel to those who already believe. He writes it to strengthen and deepen the faith of those who had already come to follow Jesus. And so, I mean, let's drink it deep. This is the final of the four gospels. And so this is, you know, our final movement through the story. So let's drink it deep and move our way through the Gospel of John. Today, chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him." This was John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" He didn't deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." "What then?" they asked him. "Are you Elijah?" "I am not," he said. "Are you the prophet?" "No," he answered. "Who are you then?" they asked. "We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What can you tell us about yourself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' just as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John answered them. "Someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to untie." All this happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Psalm 101. A vow of integrity. A psalm of David. I will sing of faithful love and justice. I will sing praise to you, Lord. I will pay attention to the way of integrity. When will you come to me? I will live with a heart of integrity in my house. I will not let anything worthless guide me. I hate the practice of transgression. It will not cling to me. A devious heart will be far from me. I will not be involved with evil. I will destroy anyone who secretly slanders his neighbor. I cannot tolerate anyone with haughty eyes or an arrogant heart. My eyes favor the faithful of the land, so that they may sit down with me. The one who follows the way of integrity may serve me. No one who acts deceitfully will live in my palace. The one who tells lies will not be retained here to guide me. Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land, wiping out all evildoers from the Lord's city. Proverbs 14:13-14. Even in laughter, a heart may be sad, and joy may end in grief. The disloyal one will get what his conduct deserves, and a good one what his deeds deserve. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the global campfire, and we thank you for this community. We thank you for this technology. Thank you for giving us a place to be as we take this journey. And now we are releasing a month, 4 months now, you have brought us into this year every day and have spoken so deeply to us and are transforming us, and we are grateful and we open ourselves fully to you. We trust you. Lead us into all truth, Holy Spirit, as we move forward. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base, and we are in our new home base. All things new, and very excited about it. I mean, this is the move-in week, and so, you know, if you've moved, man, you gotta pack all the crap up, right? And then move it, and then unpack it, and then in exhaustion begin setting things up, and first thing you want is just a bed to sleep in. You know, it's just all the setup. That's kind of what it's been like around here at Daily Audio Bible HQ. And it went well. I mean, I know there's like, we're ironing out all the different aspects as we learn and get feedback, and then trying to help walk everyone through what might seem or be confusing, because we're all over the world, and like, we're all over like the age spectrum. All generations are here. So working through just everything, getting everybody moved in. But I'm just applauding the team for just working so hard to reach out and connect with everybody. The development team, to just continue to refine the move in and get everything like really, really stable and locked. And it's been really fun to see. So if you haven't updated yet to the new Daily Audio Bible 2.0 app, it's a 2.0 everything though. It's a brand new platform in every single way. And so there's so much new there. But if you haven't updated yet, go ahead and do that. Things are stable. Updates. It won't be long before, you know, you'll have to. This 1.0 app, a lot of things were disconnected from it. And so it's not going to be around that much longer because, well, it's starting to fall apart. It's pretty very, very, very old technology. So get updated. And then here's the task. Get moved in. It will guide you through. It's not that complicated. I mean, every time we come into something new, we're like, I don't know. What, you know, wasn't the old one? We just have all this stuff when we go into something new. We thought this through really carefully over years. And so building something brand new, it's just, this is the first step of it. And it will grow and grow and grow because we have a place to grow now. So get moved in, and then check out the new community section. You'll notice that there is a watch section. Never been there before. Watch. And that is a lot of content that you can immerse yourself into from all of the biblical locations as they look today to books of the, like dramatized books of the Bible introductions, so that as we go into each new book, we get a visual, an understanding, a grasp on where we're going. The Daily Audio Bible short films are in there. I guess I would call them kind of, I don't know, short, modern, parable type teaching things to put into our lives and bring out things in us that we need to observe. There's all of the app tutorials, and be familiar with that. When you get into the new app, in that watch section, there are app tutorials. You can go through those so that you can just very, very systematically, very easily understand what's going on. It's not overly complicated. Built it really as uncomplicated as possible, even though there's just a lot under the hood going on. And then you'll also notice, and this is where this has all been going, testimonials. That is where you can view, scroll, love, like heart, send a little message to the community here. We're brothers and sisters. This is where you'll see, like, our faces as we share a quick story about our experience with the Bible. And that is so fun. That is so fun. You can sit there and scroll it like you're scrolling on social media. And this is probably much more meaningful scrolling, just to see each other, hear each other, know we're not alone, know we're together. Has been so fulfilling for me. I have loved seeing your faces. Some of you I've met, like some of you, it's like, ah. Some of you, I know you by voice and heart. But I'm like, oh, wow, it's so good to see you. So you can do all that, scroll all that, enjoy all that in the testimonial section. Now you may want to contribute. You may want to put your own 2 cents in there and tell your own little story. You should. You're a part of this community. You belong here. And that's why we built this whole section, so that we can just kind of, man, when we're praying for each other, we can see, we can hear, we can know. Even though we're flung all over the world, it's impossible that all of us will ever get to meet all of us. Like, it's impossible for me to think that I can meet all of you, even though that's sad. I have kind of an eternal view on that. There'll be a day. But in this life, as many of your necks that I can hug. I used to say that all the time when we were on tour, when we're traveling and speaking and stuff. Come out. I want, you know, come out and see us. I want to hug your necks. I grew up hearing that. My family, Southern family, you know, grew up in the North, but from the South, and came back to the South. So hug your neck, I think, is a Southern thing. I'm not sure. For all I know, it's an Aussie thing. I have no idea. It's just been a phrase in my life since I was little. So, yeah, may never be able to meet all of you in this life, but as many necks as I get to hug, and there have been thousands of them over the last 20 years, thousands and thousands, but I'd love it. I'd love there to be thousands more, but this is a way for us to kind of all come together. I went on a little bunny trail there, didn't I? This is a way for us to all come together kind of virtually, like a virtual hug, and see each other, pray for each other, smile. I mean, I smile when I see your faces. So that testimonial section is a real, real connection point for us as a community. So if you want to contribute your video to that, man, get the new app, go to the community section, and you'll see a button that says record a video. That's all you gotta know, because everything else you need to know about it is written right there. Once you punch that button, you'll get all the instructions you need. So if you can, or if you will, do that. I'd love to see you very much. I guess that's my tip for the day. I'm gonna kind of keep just doing this day by day by day, step by step, so that it's not like we moved and now you need to come. No, we're all moving together, because we're a family, we're a community. We're in this together, and everything that we're doing. And actually, let me pause for a second. So for those of you who have had any issues, we hear you. We are coming for you. We are a community. We are committed. This is a humongous technology move, a humongous technology risk. It's everything to build a platform that we dreamed we could build upon. So we will be doing everything we can, and if you just be patient and kind of come along, it's going to be great. I have seen like a handful, not a lot, just a handful of you, and that are just kind of disgruntled. And I love you. If that's you, I love you. Oddly, it's for more of the senior community, like where technology moves, and then people feel more and more left behind, or not knowing just even how to keep up. And boy, I know that feeling. The world is moving fast, and there was a time when I was, you know, a much younger man with a lot more energy and seemingly could keep up with things, but I get it. You know, at some point you have to kind of plant your stake on what really matters to you, and then the world moves on and it doesn't care. That's not us, though. That's not what's going on here. I saw someone sent me an email that this, you know, making this new app was our way of weeding out senior citizens. I am so sorry for anyone who would ever get that impression. Oh my gosh, the wisdom of the ages is locked up in our wise ones, who have the experience of all that humanity can deal out in this world. Yeah, no, we're not doing that at all. I know when something's new, I mean, we're always looking for the new, the novel, the next. That is how our culture works. But also, we want something to be solid and remain the same that is really important to us. And I know that the Daily Audio Bible is so important to so many of you, especially even in the senior community, because this is community. It brings community when it's more difficult to be in it anymore. So when something important changes or shifts, then there's that disruption of, like, you know, some of my pillars are being moved around. What's crumbling? And I just want to assure you, we risked pretty much everything to make this one big move to create a way to build upon so that we can be more connected. I would have never dreamed all this stuff up. I am a record producer. I'm an audio engineer by trade, who grew up in a pastor's home, and so all of this is all used for the Daily Audio Bible. I wouldn't have dreamed all this up. But we got to dream it up. It got to be a living dream. It got to be a spirit-led adventure. And in some ways, it feels like now we're just really getting going to where we want to go, to allow the Bible to be able to interact in our lives in any number of ways, audio or visual or any number of ways, in a relevant way that we can say, here's what I can do with this in my life right now, instead of some sort of esoteric spirituality. This is what I can do right now, and I am in a community I am connected to. Anyway, getting a little long-winded here. Sorry about that. It has been such a long time coming and a lot of stress. And so, just walking through this my own self. Nevertheless, Daily Audio Bible 2.0 is deployed and is remarkably stable. We have more stabilization, we have more optimization, we have more to do. It's only been a few days, and we are a pretty big community, but it is going well. And I thank God. I thank our development team. I thank our home team. And I thank you. And I think that's about it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here. Tomorrow.
Hey guys, it's Spark. I wanted to reach out for Brian and say thank you so much for working as hard as you do. Man, I know I opened up the new app and I looked at my wife and I just want to be a straight shooter here. There is a lot on my heart of, you're my pastor, and that's been an amazing thing in my life. We were discussing how my life kind of did a 180, and how, looking back of how I thought of things before biblically understanding why we're who we are, what we're who we are, and who we are following, you were that. And on top of that, I think there's a stigma. I think that anybody that could have something go so big, to people, to Christians, they can wonder, hey, is my pastor just enjoying it? No, sir, you have worked your tail off. And this is awesome. And I think it's going to be bringing a lot of people to God and working their mind. And I just wanted to tell you and Jill, thank you from me and Beloved in Texas. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hey, DAB family. This is On My Shepherd's Shoulders. And I want to share a word of encouragement with you and to pray over you and for you and with you. In Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul says to his brothers back during Paul's time and also for us today, as his brothers and sisters in Christ and as a family of God. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I pray this over my brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. I love you so much. And it grieves me when I hear that you are doom scrolling, and I have been a victim of that as well. And when I read this verse, it takes me away from that, and I hope it does the same for you. I put a little post-it note on my phone, and it says, is this going to bring glory to God, or is this going to take away my peace of God? So maybe you can do that with me, just so we can help each other out and staying away from things that are not of good report, that are not lovely, that we don't even know are true or not. And the enemy wants to disturb us, distract us. I mean, that's one of his easiest weapons is this phone that we have, this device that we have. There's so much good that can come with it, and there's so much evil that can come from it too, but I pray for your discernment and wisdom over it. And may the peace of God be with you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I love you all, my brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, DAB family, for your prayers for Eagle-Eyed Bruce and the revival happening in the prison in Arkansas. It was miraculous. Bruce is over the moon. There were 17 men that gave their lives to the Lord over the services that happened, and Bruce was able to preach twice to packed crowds. The chapel usually holds 100 to 125 people, and the nights that Bruce was speaking, there were 250 people, and they were all there to hear what he had to say, and it made a huge impact. thank you for praying for him. Also, thank you for praying for my beloved dad, who I call Pastor Gandalf. He is doing much better. He had an enlarged prostate that made it impossible for him to go to the bathroom. But after being on anti-inflammatories for 10 days, the catheter came out and he was able to go to the bathroom by himself, which has continued. And so he and I and our family are so grateful for those of you who prayed for my dad, Larry, aka Pastor Gandalf. Thank you. He has a urologist appointment on May 25th. I'm praying that he will continue to have no more issues until then, and that a treatment that can be found that will help him long term. So thank you for joining me and praying for him. Continue to pray for Eagle-Eyed Bruce. He is not well, and of course this week of revivals took its toll, but he is emotionally and spiritually just doing great. Thank you, family. Love you. Bye.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Fish Without Feet from Indiana. I've posted as well as left messages about my wife, MJ, or Marlita, as she travels down the road of cancer survival. We finally found hope in the City of Hope. She receives treatment, or will start treatment, in Chicago. And we know that the cancer is not just in her breasts, but also other parts. And so we're deeply praying for remission, for control, for healing, and just ask for your continued prayer on this as we move forward and seek God's will in all of this. Thank you.
Good morning, family. My name is Betsy from South Carolina. I'm coming to you to ask for prayers for my 17-year-old son, Grayson. 10 years ago, he was diagnosed with a rare brain tumor. It squashed his optic nerve and left him legally blind. He had 2 brain surgeries. The second left him with left-sided weakness, similar to a stroke. He underwent 15 months of traditional chemotherapy and has been relatively controlled on an oral chemo for the last 4 years. His faith is amazing. I always say that he was built for this journey. His spirits are great, and he's thrived going to school. He's cognitively intact. He's sweet and sarcastic. A month ago, 6 weeks ago, a routine MRI showed that the tumor was growing again, and the doctors confessed that they had been misreading scans for about a year and a half. Since then, he's kind of fallen off a cliff. He has been in a wheelchair. His weakness is greater. His coordination is less. His vision is worse. He slurs his words. He's on so many medications that he's exhausted all the time. He can't go to school. Another MRI last week showed that there was hydrocephalus on his brain, a bleed in the tumor, and they are very fearful that the tumor is progressing into a more aggressive form of itself. He had an emergency surgery on Thursday to put a shunt in. We spent the evening at the local ER because he woke up from a nap and didn't know where he was, who he was, who I was, and he couldn't form words. Family, I'm asking for complete miraculous healing soon here on earth for Grayson, continued psychological protection for all of us, discernment, wisdom, and peace. Thank you.
Hi, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I just listened to the April 14th podcast, and I wanted to lift up Titus 2 in, I believe, Maryland is where she said she was. She was calling in a prayer with regards of conceiving. Oh, sweet, sweet sister. I can relate to this very well. I went through 3 IVF cycles, then I did a medicated cycle and conceived my son, and 2 medicated cycles after that, and another IVF cycle after that to try and have another one. But it obviously was not the Lord's will, and he blessed me with one beautiful baby. So, sister, I lift you to the throne. Heavenly Father, This mama to be just has a desire for you to bless her with a child. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that it is your will to open her womb in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I pray for her in the meantime just to sit at your feet, to know that you are faithful, to know that you are good, to know that you are always with her, to know that you see her, that you love her, that you will never leave her, that your timing is perfect. I know she knows that. She said it in her request, but it is so hard to walk it out in the natural. It is so hard just to rest. But sisters, that's exactly what we need to do sometimes, is literally just rest in his shadow. Rest in the Lord truly just means to trust him. So Heavenly Father, I pray that she just trusts you, that she continues to seek your face and just leaves this at your feet. The Lord blessed me with my son when I was 36, and his timing was perfect. And I can look back and see exactly why he waited so long for this blessing. So, sister, I will keep you in my prayers, and just know that he is faithful, he is good, and he loves you so much. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.